that your country today faces some of the same problems that my country has faced since September 11th, and that namely being an effort by those in power to exploit the politics of fear, to push forward policies in the name of defending freedom and liberty, which actually oppress freedom and liberty. I was appalled to hear that the government of Prime Minister Howard is pushing legislation, the so-called anti-terrorism legislation, that makes speaking out against government policies an act of sedition, criticizing the government, accurately defining what government has done is now a crime. For instance, if you say that Australia participated in an illegal war of aggression in Iraq, violating international law, that this could be a criminal act, accusing the Prime Minister of participating in the deliberate misrepresentation of information, justifying military intervention, becomes a crime. This disturbs me personally because, you know, in the United States in 2002, I was speaking out as aggressively as I could about the war in Iraq, pointing out that the case for war, that is, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, was not a sound case, that it had not been sustained with anything remotely resembling substantive fact. And I was highly criticized, called treasonous, called a traitor, called worse. And if the Australian laws had been in place in my country at that time, I could have been arrested for sedition. And yet I was proven right. So what is this law about? Suppressing truth tellers? So be it. If this is sedition, let it begin here. So they say that the greatest sedition is actually silence. The silence of those who know that a wrong is being committed, but who are fearful of speaking out. And when you live in a representative democracy, and you have the notion of the rule of law and the issue of individual civil liberties, to have a situation where government is involved in the business of intimidating the citizenry so they are fearful of speaking out, fearful of doing what is their responsibility as citizens as part of a representative democracy. You know, it's not just about electing people to higher office. It's about holding them accountable for what they do in your name. And if you can't complete that cycle, you don't function as a representative democracy. Now, why is this important, this notion of accountability? Because today, when we speak of Iraq, the powers that be would like us to solely focus on the now and the present. We're in Iraq, they say, and we have to look forward. We have no time to look backwards. Well, I disagree with that on a number of levels. Let's start with one. We're in Iraq. I agree. We're in Iraq. It's a horrible disaster, but one of our own making. And yet they say we need to look forward. Look forward to what? To a solution. Solving the problem in Iraq. But I submit to you, you cannot speak of solving a problem until you first define the problem. Because a solution void of a definition of the problem being solved is not a solution at all. Moving forward to what end? To what end? It's imperative that we talk about defining the problem in Iraq, that we must include in this discussion how we got to be in Iraq to begin with. You can't just say, hip, we're there. No, there was a process. And it's an imperative that we understand this process and we be honest about this process. Today, people would like us to believe that the war in Iraq, or more accurately put, the illegitimate occupation of Iraq, is about spreading democracy. It's about growing a new government in Iraq that's representative of the will of the people as opposed to the tyranny of the dictator. That, regardless of what you think about being in Iraq and the justification, the fact that Saddam Hussein no longer governs makes it all justified in the end. But again, this is revisionist history. This is rewriting what actually occurred. Because in the debate, in the discussion, in the dialogue, or what I should be more accurately saying, in what passed for debate, discussion, and dialogue in the lead up to the war, there was no talk of bringing democracy to Iraq. There was no talk of freeing the Iraqi people. We went to war for one reason and one reason only. And that's that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction that threatened international peace and security in violation of Security Council resolution. Plain and simple. That's the case the Bush administration made. They made it to the American people. They made it to the American Congress. They made it to the Security Council of the United Nations. They made it to the global community. Weapons of mass destruction. This is why it's imperative that we not allow that to be forgotten. That we somehow say, well, there weren't any WMD in Iraq, but so what? We're there to build democracy. No. We live in a representative democracy. We live in constitutional republics. Is Australia a constitutional republic? I know the United States proclaims to be, but I have to be careful. Because I used that term in England, and they said, excuse me, we're not a constitutional republic. Constitutional monarchy. But be that, you got to forgive my American naivety about global situations. I always say of the American people, for a nation that is among the most technologically advanced in the world, we are also the singly most ignorant people on the face of the earth about the world we live in. And tragically, sometimes I mirror that image. So, forgive me. But you can't, if you're about the rule of law, you have to be about every aspect of it from A to Z. You don't get to conveniently pick which aspects of the law you want. And so we can't hear it here. You know, if you say we got rid of Saddam and it's a good thing, therefore let's not worry about WMD, what you're really saying is that the ends justify the means. And if you call yourself somebody who believes in the rule of law, you can never, ever endorse the notion of the ends justify the means. Because the ends justify the means, what you're saying is law does not matter. It's irrelevant that we get to be dismissive of the law to achieve an objective. If you believe in the rule of law, then what you believe in is the means justifying the ends. That's why it's imperative in the case of Iraq, if we are going to go to war in Iraq, that we have to be honest about what our objectives are, what we intend to do. WMD, that's why we went to war. We didn't find any. And they're saying, oops, it was a mistake, but we got rid of Saddam. It's a good thing. Let's forget about that simple mistake. But again, that means the ends justify the means. That means that you have a total respect for the rule of law. It means you have no regard to your status as members of a representative democracy. But let's even parse this one out further. Oops, we made a mistake. That's the big line, isn't it? Sorry, we said there were WMD, but there weren't any. We got it wrong. Shame on the intelligence services. We need to reform intelligence services. We need to, you know, fix the mistake. But it wasn't a mistake. You might be led into believing it was if you take a look at the various investigations that have transpired into this so-called intelligence failure. The United States has three such investigations. One is the Iraq Survey Group's report, the CIA's report, that says there are no WMD. In fact, there's been no WMD in Iraq since 1991, that the Iraqis destroyed everything in the summer of 1991. We simply got it wrong, they said. Then there's the Senate Select Intelligence Committee of the United States, the oversight committee responsible for providing checks and balances of the intelligence community. They concur. They say that the intelligence community made a mistake in saying and believing that there were WMDs in Iraq. Then there's the President of the United States' own special commission on WMD and intelligence and terrorism, saying not only that we got it wrong, but we got it dead wrong. The British have two such investigations. One is the Hutton Inquiry, the other one is the Butler Report. Both say that the intelligence services got it wrong on Iraq. The only way you can accept that the intelligence services got it wrong on Iraq is if you believe that the objective of the United States, Great Britain, and others who claim today to have gotten it wrong was disarmament. When it comes to Iraq, if their goals and objectives focused on the issue of disarmament, then you can say they got it wrong. They were trying to disarm Iraq. They figured he'd add WMD, and it turned out he didn't. But ladies and gentlemen, I will submit to you tonight that the goals and objectives, the policies of the United States of America vis-a-vis Iraq were never about disarmament. They were only about regime change. And disarmament was only useful insofar as it facilitated regime change. I submit to you that what we see in Iraq today is not a manifestation of an intelligence failure of getting it wrong, but rather an intelligence success of getting it right. Because the CIA wasn't tasked with disarming Iraq. The CIA was tasked with getting rid of Saddam Hussein. Plain and simple. Now, how dare I say that? Stand up before you and spread this disinformation, this sedition. How dare I say something like that? How can I back that up? I'll do my best. You see?